Today we're going to talk about religion. My title, Impure Religion and Defiled. This generation, my generation, our generation, has a serious problem with religion. They do. I work with young adults on a daily basis, college students daily basis, and one thing I'm hearing more and more, I am not religious. I'm spiritual. I'm not a churchgoer, but I believe in Jesus. I'm not religious. Religion is something to be somehow abhorred and hated and despised. It's almost a spirit of anti-religion. I'll pause for a second. Excuse me. So this idea that religion
being something that is to be hated, abhorred, it's not unjustified. Truthfully, at times, I too struggle with this issue of feeling like religion is the culprit, feeling like the institution is what has to go, feeling like, oh, you can have all that sacrament, have all those rituals, have all that church stuff, just give me Jesus. But when you stop and think about it, really think about it, religion is not the problem. Now, we are very sensitive because people have associated their hurt, pain, problems, issues with religion. And those hurts, those pains, those issues, those situations are very real. Don't misunderstand. Some of us in here today and listening right now, you have pain, hurt, betrayal, and you associate that with either your local church, your pastor, or some form of institution of religion. But if I could just for the next few moments, I want to convince you, my goal is to convince you that it's not religion that's the problem. Religion by definition, hopefully I learn how to use this, religion by definition is the belief in and worship of a superhuman or controlling power. Another definition, it is a particular system of faith and worship. Another definition, and probably more popular and one that I would use, is a pursuit or interest to which someone ascribes supreme importance. In simple terms, religion is a belief system, pure and simple. For humanity, religion really started in the very beginning. The story of Adam and Eve. When God created mankind, religion was also created. Why? A belief system. Notice in as we turn in our Bibles, if you have it, if not, that's fine. Genesis chapter 3, verse 6. For humanity, religion entered the world upon creation. Eve was the first one to switch religion. She was the original church hopper. Notice, Genesis chapter 3, verse 6 says, when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was a delight to the eyes, and the tree was desirable to make one wise, she took from its fruit and ate. And she gave also to her husband with her and ate. Notice the NLT reads like this. When the woman saw that the tree was good. The NLT. Here we go. Here we go. NLT. When the woman was convinced. When she saw that the tree was good. What happened when that perception? There was a shift in her belief system. She went from accepting and believing the word of God to all of a sudden believing the word or a word of someone contrary to the voice of God. Immediately at that point, you have two separate religions, two belief systems. Either she believed what God was saying was true, or she believed what the serpent was saying was true. Two separate religions. Are you with me? Hopefully this is clear. The serpent deceived Eve with a false religion or a false belief that looked similar. Notice, that looked similar to the original truth. He said, look, it's not going to make you die. No, on the contrary, it's going to make you wise. It's going to be okay. And that very point tells us a lot of what we need to know about religion. Before we throw out religion altogether and say that it's all bad and it's all corrupt, it's all evil, what we need to realize that the easiest way to deceive, first we understand the serpent deceived Eve with a belief that was similar. But the easiest way to deceive is to create a haystack for the needle. Someone said it's impossible to find a needle in a haystack. Well, if you want to deceive somebody, you want to trick somebody, especially with religion, just add a haystack to the needle. This is what we see in modern religion and religions of the world. This reminds me of an old cartoon when I was a kid. You guys remember this? It's been, what, over 25 years now? It's been around, but remember that old cartoon, the old storybooks of Where's Waldo? Anybody ever, everybody watch those? Look at that. Yeah, that was fun. It was entertaining. Well, the thing about this whole Waldo thing is that all the colors match. They all are systemed to look the same, to deceive you. You have the red, the white, the blue, and Waldo, of course, is somewhere in this. For the sake of time, only got 14 minutes left, so I'm going to help you out. There he is. There's Waldo. But notice, it's very difficult to find him amongst all the colors, amongst all the things that sound similar, that sound right, but yet all of the surroundings are not Waldo. There's only one Waldo in this picture. There's only one thing that is true. Only one of these people in this photo is Waldo. But the easiest way to deception is to add a haystack to the needle. Every belief system is a form of religion. Someone says that I'm not religious, I'm spiritual. Well, not really, because that fact is a religion. You have taken the road of spirituality. Others claim to be atheists, but if you really study atheism and get to talking, even atheists have faith in their worldview. Peter Atkins, a well-known atheist, he puts it like this. He said, "My own faith, my own scientific faith, is that there is nothing that the scientific method cannot illuminate." He was asked in a debate and made the assertion. He said, "I believe that science will one day answer every question of the universe." The debater, the man he was debating, said, "So are you accepting that assertion by faith?" Of course, he had to say yes, because science has not answered all the questions of the universe, not even close. So only faith could account for that statement. So even a position of no religion or no faith is still a belief system. Stephen Law, another atheist, made the statement, "The driving force of science is optimism." In other words, faith. We hope that one day we will figure this all out. But at the end of the day, that is the same statement that we as theists, as Christian, Bible-believing Christians, make about God. We hope that one day God is going to sort out all the injustice in the world. And one day we're going to spend eternity with Him. Amen. Someone once said, I hate religion, but I love Jesus. Well, that's also a problem, you see, because Jesus is religion. He said, "Oh man, Jesus didn't come preaching religion. He came preaching love." Well, on the contrary, Matthew chapter 5:7c says, "Don't think that I came to abolish the law or the prophets. I did not come to abolish the law. I came to fulfill the law." John chapter 13:34 says, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another." In other words, a new law, a new way of living, a new belief system I give to you. Galatians chapter 6:2 says, "Bear one another's burdens and therefore fulfill the law of Christ." Every belief system, this is what I'm trying to get across to you, every belief system that you have is in essence a religion. The only difference is Jesus came to offer us a better religion than any other religion out there. The one way, the one truth, the one way to true life. Amen. So I might just add here, I forgot to toss that up. Your issue is not with religion. Your issue is not with the system. Your issue is not with the organization. Your issue is not with the structure. Your issue is with the evil inside of religion. Your issue is with the people inside of the religion. Your issue truly is with evil. Let's make it very clear what the problem really is. It's not religion. It's people. It's evil. It's evil in the world. It's corrupt people in the world. Jesus did not go around getting mad at the Pharisees for teaching religious doctrines. On the contrary, Jesus was not upset that the Pharisees were teaching religious doctrines. He was upset that they were teaching over religious functions. I have in here, he was upset that to the additions and the modifications that the religious leaders had made over time, that it added to the original law, to the law that was given at Sinai. That's what his problem was. Wasn't the fact that the religious people were doing what they know to do. No, they were going above and beyond. They were abusing the authority of that religion. That's what Jesus was encountering. Jesus was combating impure and defiled religion. That's what Jesus was going after, not religion. I beg you not to throw the baby out with the bathwater. You must be careful. Jesus did not come to destroy religion, to destroy rules. I'm not here to preach. We're talking, right? Amen. Might get anointed here. Our problem is not with religion. However, our problem is with those that who abuse and distort the truths taught in Scripture. Jesus' biggest problem was with the evil people. Evil people ruining religion. And truthfully, we're all evil at our core. I'll save that for another Clear Word conference if I'm invited back. So we talk about this evil in religion, and I'm looking at the time, and I think I still have time here. It begs the question, a long-standing question of the problem of evil and why God allows evil to continue. Why does it seem like this corruption of religion just continues on? And it's a big question. Not sure I can do it in the next few minutes. And really, I'm not sure I'm qualified to even give an answer of that sort. But for my personal view and for what I've seen is that we have to understand the fact that God is still in control. C.S. Lewis said it like this. It's not the problem. The real problem is not why pious, humble, believing people suffer, but why some do not. And that's really the issue. Why is it that it seems like life is at times so unjust? Why is it at times that some people suffer and others do not? And believe it or not, this is one of the biggest issues that has led more people to skepticism, to atheism, to agnosticism. Why? They cannot get over this issue of evil. For some reason, they still believe that evil will never, ever be defeated. But friend, I'm here to tell you today that as Christians, with the worldview of Christ at our center, we believe that one day God will indeed defeat evil for good. Now, there are a few different arguments that people pose to this. The first argument is the argument of contradiction. They say, well, evil exists, therefore God cannot exist. Well, this argument has been largely rejected in the last few years because it can be simply dismissed with understanding that, no, God and evil both can exist as long as God has a reasonable reason for allowing evil to exist. What does that mean? It means that we trust that God has a reason for allowing evil to this point. We don't know what it is, and we need to be careful not to assume omniscience on that point, not to assume that we know what it is. That's when we get really caught in trouble. We say, well, God allowed this to happen to you because of this. That's dangerous. We probably shouldn't do that. We can't act like we're God. The Bible says his ways are still high above our ways, thoughts still above our thoughts. We don't know what it is, but as long as God does indeed have a reason, as long as there might possibly be a reason, there's no contradiction between God and evil. They can both exist. But the stronger argument of the two that an atheist will use, or that non-believers will use, is to say that the amount of evil in the world suggests, it implies that there is no God. But as Christian believers, as faith-filled people, we stand to object to that. Even C.S. Lewis, in one of my favorite quotes that he said, my argument, an ex-atheist, C.S. Lewis, he said, my argument against God was that the universe seemed cruel and unjust. Then he said, but just how had I got this idea of just and unjust? And he goes on to say here, a man does not call a line crooked unless he has some idea of a straight line. What was I comparing this universe with when I called it unjust? In other words, the very fact that we can distinguish between good, evil, right, wrong, all of these things, that tells us that someone has planted or somehow that thought has been put into us by an ultimate designer. The argument from objective morality. You see, evil in the world, the abundance of evil in the world, does not prove that God doesn't exist. On the contrary, we would say it proves that God exists. It proves that there is someone outside of time, matter, and space, controlling and destining us to our purpose and meaning in life. So, our hope at the end of the day, I wish I could spend a lot more time talking about that. And perhaps if you have questions after, man, and if they don't get answered in the Q&A, text them in. I would love to talk about that idea of arguing the existence of God from evil. I think it's so, so important and it's so relevant for our day. But one thing that we hold on to by faith, is that one day God will defeat evil. Now, let me just say this. This is the same argument that an atheist will make, but they'll switch it around. They will say that God will not defeat evil because God does not exist. They have chosen to put their faith in evil, while you and I, and anyone that else would, have chosen to put our faith in God. You see, a skeptic has to look down the road and claim all-knowing power. They have to claim that evil will never be defeated in the future. That's their hope. That's their faith. They don't know that. They don't know that. So they're believing that. Well, you and I don't claim to know everything. We just claim to believe that in the end, God will be victorious. And it says, Revelation chapter 1, He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there will be no more death or sorrow or crying or pain. All these things are gone forever. In the end, God will win. Our goal is not to strive for religion. Our goal is to strive rather for religion that Jesus taught. James chapter 1, 27, pure and undefiled religion in the sight of our God and Father is this, to visit the orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself unstained, unspotted from the world. Two major commandments. The first and the second, Jesus said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Second, love your neighbor as yourself. Love God, love people. That is pure religion. Please, do not throw the baby out with the bathwater. We need religion, but we need pure and undefiled religion. Bless you.